Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
Back with Trendy Trev.
Yeah, open to the Daily Program with your Daily Program. It's National Talk Black, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumper Bip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong, all ears here for your daily yarns. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the beautiful country of ours. Welcome back to your Daily Program, National Talk Black. Now, captivating true tale of maternal love. Tasma Walton announced as finalist for one of Australia's top book prizes. Now in its 24th year, the Nib Literal Award is one of Australia's most high-profile and valuable book prizes, celebrating the most compelling research-based literature published annually. And Tasma Walton, 2025, Mark and Yvette Moran, Nib Literacy Award finalists. And we're going to catch up and have a yarn with Tasma on the line. Tasma, good morning.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello. I'm good, thanks. How
are
you going?
I'm good. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, sister, let the mob know who your mob were you from, please.
I'm descended from the Bunwarang Bunurong mob. That's all coastal Melbourne area.
Yes.
But I grew up on absolutely gorgeous Yamatji country, Geraldton,
yes,
as a kid. So I feel very connected to both of those places.
Beautiful. Big shout out to mob. Thank you very much. Look, congratulations. Your deadly
you
book there. I am Nanat Guruk. Is that it?
Yeah, Nanat Guruk.
Nanat Guruk. Beautiful. Congratulations.
Yeah, beautiful.
So tell us
thank
about
you
the book, the story behind it, and let's talk about how you became the finalist for one of Australia's top book prizes.
Well, so basically it's one of my ancestors' stories,
okay,
essentially. So back in the early 1830s, you know, as you probably know, there was a lot of sealing and all that kind of stuff going on down in the southern part of the continent.
Mm.
And these fellas were just, you know, absolutely lawless, did whatever they wanted. And they kidnapped, essentially, a lot of young women and children. And one of my ancestors was kidnapped with a group of her kin off the shores of Point Nepean down Melbourne Way. And then they were all taken over to islands off the coast of Tasmania and sold in a slave market there. And she was then taken all the way over to the islands off the coast of WA. So it's a pretty epic story, and it
yes
sort of really goes into a part of our history that is not often looked at. And it's not, you know, people just think, oh, it was all fine and they were all about, you know.
And not the case. In Tasma, there it is, truth telling front and centre, sister.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. And it's also reclaiming that women's voice that's been, you know, erased a lot. So
yes,
these women were, and kids were essentially forgotten about, and they're only footnotes in the history pages. And I wanted to make sure that as a reader, when they read this story, they are going through the journey of this particular woman and actually walking in her footsteps to understand what it was like.
Yeah. So beautiful. Congratulations. So with this win, so how did it come about? Were you notified by a phone call or an email, or and did you go to the finalist celebrations?
Yeah. So, I was obviously surprised because, you know, it's I haven't written a lot of books, but
sure.
I basically found out over email. I got a amazing email to receive, basically saying I was shortlisted for the NIB Waverley Council, you know, History Award.
Mm.
And that means, so basically that means two things. I'm in the running for the big prize, but I'm also essentially a finalist in that you do get a little bit of cash being shortlisted with the Alex Buzo prize. So it was all very, very exciting. And I think most of all, you put a lot of effort in it. It's a real labour of love. And it was a very emotional story to tell. And I feel like it just felt like a beautiful acknowledgement of what our some of our women have gone through.
Yes.
And that, you know, it was being heard. The story was being heard. The truth was being heard.
Fantastic. So, Thomas, for young ones out there who may have a vision to become an author as such, tell us your progress, how you came about it, how you had time up early hours in the morning or, you know, giving up lunch or what have you. Tell us the journey in that sense, please, Tasma.
Yeah, well, look, as I said, it is a labour of love. It's not easy, I have to say,
yes.
But it's worth it at the end. So for me, particularly with this story, it was a little bit different to other ways that I've written before. Like normally I try and have a routine and I start at a certain time and I finish at a certain time. But this story, to be quite honest, it needed to be told in its own way. And so what I found happening was that I'd start writing later on in the afternoon and I'd write through the night to the early hours of the morning.
Yes.
Because I really needed the quiet and I needed the world to calm down so I could hear my ancestors' voice, I think.
Thank you. Beautiful.
But,
yes.
You know, the main thing is it does take a lot of persistence. Mm. You have to be really, really sure about the story you want to tell, your dedication to it, and then you've got to, what they say, show up at the page. You know, you've got to sit down, you got to write it. It's just there's a lot of hard work involved, but the reward is huge at the end of it, I think.
Yeah, fantastic. I love how you describe you need that peace and quiet to hear your ancestors talk to you. So beautiful. Congratulations, leading from the front. What's next on the cards for Tasma Walton?
Well, first and foremost, we've got a deadly TV show coming out on SBS in November, so keep your eyes out for that, called Reckless.
Reckless,
and
okay.
It's got me and Hunter Page Lochard playing brother and sister, and it is so much fun.
Oh, deadly.
And then I'm always dabbling with stuff. Like,
good.
I'm trying to work on a
good
TV show, work on another book. I think as a creative person, you just need to keep the juices flowing. You keep
beautiful
doing bits and pieces of stuff.
So fingers in a few pies, you could say.
Yeah, totally.
To Deadly Tasma, congratulations once again. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. All the best to your mob family. Enjoy the journey and we'll yarn soon.
Oh, thanks so much, brother. Lovely to yarn with you. You take care.
Okay, darling. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Beautiful yarn there, Tasma Walter, and she's captivating true tale of maternal love. And Tasma Walter announced as finalist for one of Australia's top book prize, and that's the Nib Literal Award, and one of Australia's most high-profile valuable book prizes, and celebrating most compelling research-based literacy literature published annually. And also want to make mention of the 6 shortlisted books for 2025, Max DePayne, by Helen Ennis, ACT, Black Witness by Amy Maguire, Queensland, Mean Streak by Rick Morton, New South Wales, Cactus Pear for My Beloved by Sama Sabowi, Victoria, and Clever Men by Martin Thomas, ACT, and I Am Nangaruk by Tasma Walter. So look, fantastic, and picking up the prize there, Too Deadly, leading from the front. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yana Strong? Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416.
It's Jessica Malboy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turb, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
Streets, as time keeps ticking by. Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it. Strap on.
In the morning, feel the free sunlight in the ocean. I will never leave this place. This place I call my own.
My own, my own. My sweet Gary Bay, sweet Gary Bay, my sweet Gary Bay. Oh no, I will never, never run away.
Come from. If you stop in this place, we become one. All my brothers and sisters, here we come one. If you wanna come raid, yeah, we listen. 4871, we be on a mission. And if you're not there, then you be missing. We be raging all night long, every day to the break of dawn. So come along and take the floor, 'cause we can rock it out to our favorite song.
Come on, show me what you really got.
Yeah, like that.
Come on, show me what you really got. 4871, show me what you really
yeah, like
got.
That.
4871, show me what you really got. Come on, show me what you really
yeah,
got.
Like
come on, show me what you really got. 4871, show me what you really
yeah,
got.
Like
4871, show me what you really got.
Yeah, Sweet Yorry Bay, big shout out, Normie J, and that's featuring Miller Kid, Russia. And a big shout out to Yarrabah Mob, hope you're well. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong. Daily number here, 1-800-422-416. Caller number one is yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trevor Murray from Curry. I'm your host of your daily program, National Talk Black, 1 hour program, live here at Bummer Bitman BBM 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can also text the brother 045-714-0550 or our Facebook page well, BBM 987 FM. So you do yarn up strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black. All right, got the Sydney NRL Grand Final happening this weekend after the Brisbane Lions took it the AFL Championship last Saturday. And with the other teams out of the competition, well, that leaves opportunities for NRL players to play in the 2025 Koori Knockout. And one of the standard events on the rugby league calendar is back as 2025 Koori Knockout kicks off this weekend. Over four action-packed days, Indigenous players from across Australia will battle it out in this year's tournament hosted in Tamworth. As always, the competition has attracted a strong presence of NRL talent and a mix of established stars and rising prospects already confirmed to take the field. Which NRL players will play in the Koori Knockout. Several high-profile NRL players have already confirmed their participation in the 2025 Koori Knockout. However, the Broncos reaching NRL Grand Final, centre Katoni Staggs will be unable to take part. Such players as Josh Adokar from Parramatta Eels, he lines up with Koori Knockout team Sydney All Blacks. We have Jaden Campbell, Gold Coast Titans. Walgett, Aboriginal connection. Talis Duncan, South Sydney Rabbitohs. La Perouse, Panthers. Dan Gagai, Newcastle Knights. Maury Boom, Erangs. Tyrone Munro, South Sydney Rabbitohs. Maureen Boom, Erangs. Josh Patson, Gold Coast Titans. Widra, Aboriginal Rivers. Cody Walker, South Sydney Rabbitohs. Bundjalung Bagels. So there's just some of the players named from the NRL playing in the Koori Knockout. Look, a great event. Mob going back to country, playing for their respected cultural mob, so which is fantastic. And, of course, young and up-and-coming players play in that competition, like the Murray Knockouts here in Queensland. And then a lot of NRL scouts that do attend these games and then opportunity for picking up future players. So perform well, your Delhi mob, and, may the best team win. But give it your all, and never know, doors could open up. This is your Delhi program, National Talk Black. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416.
Why did you get vaccinated?
Vaccinations are the best way to protect us from serious and preventable diseases. When you visit the free Wootropperum vaccination pop-up clinic, you'll be entered into the monthly draw to win 6 months free fruit and vegetables delivered directly to your door every week. Wow, that's a great reward to protecting your family. One entry for every free vac shot. This Wednesday in Coral Cay Clinic in Manura. No appointment needed. Just walk in 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Check out Wootropperum's Facebook page for more details.
Station sponsor.
Hey you mob, did you know Child's World Early Learning Centre's free kindergarten approved program has been nurturing growth and learning for over 30 years with early childhood education for children aged from 6 weeks to kindergarten? To find out more, get in contact at 4045 4045. Station sponsor.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yana, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host of your daily program, National Talk Black, and come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bunbury Bripper Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yarn up strong, your mob too deadly. Now, members agreed to enact a First Nations collective voice to the country's public health peak body. Members of Peak Body for Public Health, the Public Health Association of Australia, PHAA, have voted almost unanimously to create an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander voice to help guide its work. So after 2 years of hard work and consultation, the proposal known as the First Nations Collective Co-Design Project was passed as at the Association's Annual General Meeting on Darawal Country, Wollongong, on 16 September. Formalising the work of the collective required a change to the association constitution and a vote from its members. We're going to catch up with Yarn now, Associate Professor Summer Finlay, Public Health Association of Australia, PHAA, Vice President, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander. And we have Associate Professor Summer on the line. A very good morning. Professor, how are you?
Hello, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, sister, let the mob know who your mob, where are you from, please?
I am Summer Mae Finlay. I am a Yorta Yorta woman, but I grew up on a Awabakal Warramai country, and I currently live on Darawal country of the Wadi Wadi people here in the beautiful Illawarra.
All right, beautiful. Big shout out to your mob and mob there where you reside. Thank you very much. So members agreed to enact First Nation collective voice to the country's public health peak body. So tell us about this conversation and moving forward with this daily organisation.
So the Public Health Association of Australia is the peak body for public health, and 2 weeks ago, it was very exciting, Dr. Alana Gall, who's the former Vice President of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander with the Public Health Association, put a motion to the members to include in our constitution First Nations collective voice for the Public Health Association of Australia, and it was overwhelmingly supported. It was an absolute pivotal moment, I think, in public health. For me personally, as the incoming Vice President, my job now is to establish that voice. So I get the exciting job of establishing it and starting to think about what that can do for our mob.
Well, the people have spoken. So when you look at that majority rules, there's democracy at its best. And so now with the vehicle driving forward, you could say new tyres on the vehicle, you could say.
You could absolutely say. And can I just say, look, we know the referendum on the constitutional change failed, right? And we know that that was devastating for a lot of our mob. But for public health people, can I just share that 98% of people voted yes to this constitutional change?
There you go.
So while the country may not have supported constitutional change, there are still people out there that are supporting us in a way that we would like to be supported.
So, yeah, and with the PHAA, how long has this been operating for?
The Public Health Association of Australia has been operating for over 50 years, so it's been around for a long time. I think it's 50 years. You've actually just caught me off guard there with that question.
Sure, no,
apologies if it's been around for a long time. Put
Lovely.
It that way.
Yep. And it's a voice, isn't it? It's a powerful voice for members. Anyone can become members, or do you have to be associated? Can individuals become members?
Absolutely. So the Public Health Association is a member-based organisation. We have members from all around the country. And we also have about 35 to 50 at any given point in time Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander members.
Beautiful.
A lot of our mob work in public health, so even though they may not be members of the organisation, one of the things we're really excited about with the constitutional change, it allows us to go and speak to non-members as well. So it doesn't matter if you're not a member, although I would encourage you to be a member. There are absolute perks for being a member. It is something that will be available and supportive of all mob, regardless of whether we're members or not.
Yeah, fantastic. Look, a powerful vehicle, powerful voice for our mob. And when you look at health, we as First Nation people, there's plenty of gaps to be closed. Look, a very important vehicle as such. But congratulations with this agreement as such. Now moving forward, tackle what you need to tackle, my sister. But good yarn with you. Big shout out to your team and the mob. And we will yarn soon, my sister. Thank you, Professor Summer Finlay.
Thank you very much.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
See you. Bye.
Beautiful yarn there. That's Associate Professor Summer Finlay, who's the Vice President of the PHAA, Public Health Association of Australia, and Australia's peak body for public health and advocate for the health and well-being of everyone. And they strive to help prevent rather than cure illness and disease, and represent about 2,000 individual members for more than 40 professional groups interested in the promotion of health, public health. And they have branches in every state, territory, and you can learn more by going to the webpage, allthews.phaa.net.au. So do check that out. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, Yarn Up Strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. And you are yarning with the bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host, your daily program, National Talk Black, and live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. BBM Bumbadrip Media, 98.7 FM, with your daily program, National Talk Black. Too Deadly, make you want to go fishing. Big shout out there. That's our Black Image, our mullet hunting here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yarn, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Recurry. Come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns and Yidinji Country. BBM Bumrabip Media, 98.7 FM. And we've got across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. All right, now the Albanese government did invest $50 million over 4 years to improve remote food security, including reducing the cost of essential items. The low-cost essential subsidy scheme will be capped at 152 participants participating stores. We had the conversation earlier, about a couple of weeks ago, with Minister Malandiri McCarthy, Minister for Indigenous Australians, Senator for Northern Territory, and we got her on the line to talk about the good news. And a very good morning, my sister. Minister, how are you?
Good morning. How are you, Trev? And a big hello to all your listeners.
Thank you, my sister, very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Sure. It's Malandiri McCarthy, a Yanyuagarawa woman from Borroloola in the Gulf of Carpentaria, yes, and Minister for Indigenous Australians across the country.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. That's good news in regard to we've got 100 remote stores now enrolled in the low-cost essential subsidy scheme. That's good money invested, is it not?
Oh, totally, Trev. It was great to speak to you a couple of weeks ago,
yes,
about the 30 stores in far north Queensland, and I was able to get to Palm Island last Friday for their spring festival, and also announced that Palm Island was the 100th store to
beautiful
sign up.
Beautiful.
So big shout out to all the mob on Palm Island.
Look, thank you. We are struggling. I mean, that's all Australians regarding expenses and living expenses. So a dollar better in our pocket, somebody else's, and here we are saving money. But we're talking about essential items, you know, which is great for our families who are struggling.
It is. It is, Trevor. And I just wanted to, like I said to you, just want to make sure our mob in our remote regions actually have prices in their stores.
Yes.
And for 30 essential items, obviously, they're the main things. I know there'll be other foods that might be a bit more expensive or other products, but we did try and narrow it to the 30 items that we think do work, and that was on the advice of so many across our remote communities. And I just ask for feedback from people as you travel around or even in your communities. Just let me know how you're going and let Trev know so I know.
Lovely, thank you. Now, regarding the sign-ups, tell us the process or how the conversation goes with the so-called stores. Are they approached with an email or with a concept and an idea, and they've got to look into it and then decide yay or nay? Is that how it works?
Yes. So stores can actually go online with the National Indigenous Australians Agency or Outback Stores and have a look at the process, Trev.
Yes.
And if it's something that interests them, then they can make contact. It is for remote stores, so you'll see a list there of what is defined as remote.
Mm.
There are some stores that are not defined as remote, and so they may not get on in this sort of first round.
Okay.
But I am interested to have a look once we do a review of how this policy is rolling out, and in that review I will be asking questions or asking them to ask questions about those stores that aren't able to sign up and how many of those are there. So this is a good problem to have.
Good.
And
it is.
It just means that, you know, things are working and we're seeing a better cost of living for mob in our remote stores.
A concept of go a mile, see a mile, having a conversation, looking at if it works or not or what have you, but it is working. People are smiling. You know, cheaper groceries, essential stuff, items, so very important. Thank you for sharing. And look, let's keep
worries.
In touch. And we'll yarn down the track. Good to have a yarn. You take care, my sister.
Okay, see you.
Bye-bye. Bye. A beautiful yarn there. That's Minister Malindiri McCarthy, Minister for Indigenous Australians, Senator for Northern Territory, and very excited about the 100 remote stores signed up now, enrolled in the low cost essentials subsidy scheme. So do check it out. You can visit the different stores, food security, and remote First Nations community. And mentioned Palm Island and Townsville trip, been a change in the estimate, was her statement there, Minister McCarthy. So, look, fantastic. And like I said, it's essential items, and look, it saves money, and that's what it's all about. When you talk about our mob living remotely, the freight kills them. So we are talking about a $50 million investment by the Albanese government, and great to see. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Add to the conversation here, daily number 1-800-422-416. Yeah, daily track, ADO. That's Murray Weyer here on your daily program, National Talk Black. We've got Tony Gibbs on the line. Tony, good morning. How are you?
Good
morning.
I'm good, Trevor.
Good.
I'm recovering from a couple of accidents.
Well, you've been in the wars, have you, Tony?
Yeah, mate. I've been on 4 rounds of antibiotics. Mm. I had 2 accidents with dogs, not bites, a friend's dog. One's that tripped me up and I fell down on my right arm, took big flaps of skin off my thing, and I never turned bad. And then I just got better, and I went around the same place again, and I was sitting on the lawn with a dog, and it suddenly took off, and it sort of used my shin as a as a racing block to take off, you know, and dug its claw into my shin, and I was on antibiotics again. No, mate, I've been in the wars.
You have been in the wars. Man's anyway, best friend, yep, travelling good otherwise.
Well, nothing's really going good down here in the southern suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
The green patch is fully closed again. I think last time I called you up, which is why I've called back today, the continuation of the story, I went down to the green patch and they put flags up and I'd ran over it and got caught up and tangled, and they've got that motor club running the park, you know?
Yeah. So, swinging about then. You're swinging about, my brother.
And then I got really, really angry at the management team, taking it like out of cultural sense, and not just for Murray people, but a lot of Murrays like I know. And I stood up and I said, I shouted out really loud. I got wild when I had all the rope and flags wrapped around the front of my car. I said, we're just waiting for the big rain to come to wash your shit down the river, I told them. And they got a fella staying there in a camper van with his wife, and I really read them the riot act, and I said that. And then I left, and then I see they had a sign up the council, they were going to test the warning system for flood, you know, the sirens that go off. And anyway...
Did they do the test?
A big rain came, mate. You know, there was a big rain down here a couple of weeks ago. The spirits were on my side. They come and they raised it, and they had to evacuate the park. That's never been heard of before in September here. The green patch was closed.
Mm.
And they got washed out. And then they had another fella come in with a great big new portable house thing they'd put on our site where we used to sit. And so they're all gone, and now they...
It sounds like a resort on wheels.
Yeah, mate, it was a giant thing. Well, they've gone too. They're all washed out, and now the council have been down there, put a sign up saying it's closed. Well, that's going to be till next Easter.
Mm.
It's getting worse and worse in Gordonville, mate.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can say, yeah, mate, we're good and all that, but we're not good because we've lost our place.
Mm.
We've lost our entire... river, and there's so much going on in Gordonville, we really sort of need a bit of grassroots radio station back, mate.
And here we are, brother, here we are. Yep.
We need you to be informed. I'd like to give you a guided tour out here of what's happening if you don't know.
Because,
you know, like the whole show did come from Goldsboro people, you know, Bummer Vipper and...
Mm, exactly. Yeah, brother.
We want to get back to...
Yep.
We need you on site in this, and it's hard to say, but we don't like thinking it's a conflict of interest because you work for the council, and I feel like I'm in the hot seat trying to have a talk because it's like tightrope walking, mate. I don't want to get cut off, you know.
We
need the show live.
Yep. Well, thanks for sharing, my brother. Please look after yourself. Take care. Watch the dogs out there, brother.
More, mate. There's one little bit more.
Go ahead. Yep.
I was sitting here night before last, and there's a knock on my door just after dark. A woman saying, "There's a monster snake coming into your place." So I never knew the lady, and I went out in the road. Yeah, there's a big scrub python, amethystine python, coming into my place. And I said, "Yeah, I'll get it. Oh, are you going to go near?" "Yeah, I'm not worried about that. I know about them, fella."
Mm.
I got a sack, and I tried to get it in, and she'd gone, and it was all wrapped around my arm and stuff, and I was having a real battle with this thing. anyway, I got it.
Far North Queensland crocodile hunter.
Yeah, mate, well, I'm used to them, and I don't like them on the road. I always pick pythons off the road and put them in a bush. I don't like seeing them run over. Yeah, that's my thing.
Yeah, good on you.
And so I put it in a bin, and yesterday I took it back down to the river, which is all completely down the green patch, and I... released it there.
Mm.
I made a little video of it. It was about 4 metres long, mate. It was a really good sized thing. So,
well, it's their environment as well, isn't it?
Hey,
it's their environment as well. It's their creek as well, isn't it?
It's their environment. That's it. It's they're part of the place like our people are. connected with the river. There's terrible things going on out here. We've got they're drilling for this water or whatever on four corners of the river. They've got there's so much development. The river's surrounded and it's all shut.
Mm.
And so this is our little river town. And we've got Liberal Party here now, and we've got Labor Party in there, and they're both sharing this political seat. It's a nightmare, and no one can understand it. I can.
Mm.
But I need to come on here without feeling that I'm under pressure, that I can't talk.
Yeah, well, you use this vehicle well, and it's a tool, and using the tool well, putting the conversation out there. So thanks for sharing, brother.
There's one other thing, Trev.
Go ahead.
I still have intent. And thank you, Selwyn, for saying that, you know, to do the writing and stuff and reflect it back on them. I've been writing now for 2 or 3 years, and I've written to everybody for council reviews, and then I've reviewed their reviews, and it's gone back to the human rights in Brisbane. And I haven't heard from them for a while. They wanted more questions on my identity because I said I lived you fella, you know, like I'm part of the mob.
Mm, part of the mob, adopted in, you could say, yep.
Yeah, and they've got me writing, and I've still got the two crosses in my front yard.
Mm.
So I've got two things on, which is, the main thing is the cemetery to see my missus's permanent cross back in. The aluminium crosses, they have no proper reason to condemn them or make crosses illegal. We've always put crosses up without permits, and it's just gone too far, and it needs to go further, because I'm tormented to pure hell. I'm making a big transportable banner at the moment. I'm improving. I cannot get any rest, mate.
Yeah.
I cannot get any rest.
Yep, your spirit is hurting too, my friend.
I'm hurting too much because... Mm. That's my missus laying there, and they've stripped her grave. It's my culture, damsel in distress.
Mm.
And I promised I'd be buried next to her, and I can't see that happening. So they're cursed, mate, and the spirits are on my side. They got flooded out with their rotten caravan park management, and they took down all the rules of the green patch used to be on the wall. They said you can't do any commercial thing here. They took all the rules down because they broke all their own rules. And they've been punished big time now, mate. There is a spiritual world, believe me. You know?
My brother, thanks for sharing, and we'll talk soon, brother.
Thank you, Trevor, for listening.
Thanks, Tony. Tony Gibbs, regular caller down there at Gordonville, and look, batting for his river, and for the mob's river as well. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416. Yarn soon.
Yeah, this is Mark Harbrow. You're tuning in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev on the mic.
1-800-422-416.
Welcome back to your program. We've got Solon on the line. Solon, good morning.
Good morning, yeah, brother. Hey, brother, did you take a call from me 1 year? I rang in about my experience at the Harold Blair Project, and when I was a little fellow, we was in Footscray, and come over the radio was that Ronald Ryan, the last man that hung, he escaped. I shared that yarn, and a Murray fellow rang in after me, and he said, he had a go at me, because he said that was his cousin. Ronald Ryan was his cousin, and I took it to mean that it was a Koori fella. But anyway, that's that. You didn't get that Koori brother from me?
I can't recall, but yep.
No, okay. And brother, for Tony, brother, I got happy news for you, brother.
Mm.
I said, you know how the government pissed us off and give us the number 2? Well, thanks to Trevor Tim and his campaign, we could give it back to this called the voucher campaign, brother. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, my brother. Too deadly. Solon, regular caller here on your daily program, National Talk Black. It's come the time where Trinity Trev signs off for today's program. Thank you for your company, mob. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow, and that daily number 1-800-422-416. 24/7. Text to brother 0457140550. Don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. Thank you for your company. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, and we'll go and see you, mob. Too deadly.
Up in the sky, so far away, there is a place for everyone. Moon and the stars, they always shine out on that ocean way. And as the lazy wave rolled by, breezes blowing memories. Oh yes, yes, somewhere there's joy, somewhere there's sorrow. Out on the sea, it's always the same to me. Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Where the wild, wild one-eyed tree goes? Are you from Torres Strait? Any place, including St. Paul Way? Any place and just around by Mabio Bay? Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Well, I'm from TI too. Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Where the wild, wild, one-eyed tree goes? Are you from Torres Strait? Any place, including St. Paul Way? Any place and just around by Mabio Bay? Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Well, I'm from TI too. Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Well, I'm from TI too.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now at 1-800-422-416.